Welcome to Rewire with Brian Coons, a podcast that explores human potential. If this content is useful to you, please rate or share with your friends and loved ones. Welcome to the Rewire podcast. This is episode number 32. I have with me today Daniel Dubajic. Daniel is a bioenergy therapist who has helped celebrities, athletes, and hundreds of other people over the past decade heal from physical ailments, health disorders, and even mental illnesses. He's certified in pure bioenergy and practices pranic healing, accessing consciousness bars, and Reiki. Welcome, brother. It's so great to be speaking with you here today.
Thank you, Brian.
So, Daniel, we had a conversation previously, and you know, I thought today would be really interesting and helpful for the listeners if we started kind of with your story in healing, because I find this topic so fascinating, and you know, it's becoming more and more mainstream all the time. There's more evidence of how helpful this really is to healing comes to light. So maybe you could sort of start with your story, kind of going back to your initial injury and how you kind of got into the healing space.
So when I was 14 years old, I injured my back playing football for high school, and I had problems for about 14 years. Finally, after 14 years of all kinds of aches and pains and complaints, I went to my medical doctor. Well, I went to my medical doctor more than once, but finally, after about 14 years of complaining, we did an MRI. And after my MRI scan, the doctor told me that my discs were degenerated like a 65-year-old man and explained to me how it's irreversible. Forget about my sports, forget about any physical activity, going to the gym. And basically what we can do is sort of slow down the process of getting any worse and trying to put me on some kind of medication. I'm against medications, and I didn't really accept that as the final. So I ended up going back home to Serbia, and I met a healer, my very first healer. It was pretty fascinating. I stood maybe 5 meters away from him. He just put his hand in front of his face and started shaking his hand and kind of scanned my body. So basically, he did a CAT scan, MRI, X-ray within a couple of minutes with his mind, body, intuition. Told me everything wrong with me and said within 7 to 10 sessions, my back would never hurt again. So I ended up having maybe 3 or 4 sessions. My back was getting worse and worse. I told him all this. He said some people get worse before they get better. And probably on the 6th or 7th session, my back's never hurt since. I'm 45 years old. That happened when I was 28. And my life has completely changed with this man and learning about that this even exists in our world.
Yeah, that's so powerful, man. And so from that experience, I guess that sort of was the catalyst to was that the catalyst to inspire you to help others in the same space? And you know, I know as well, there's more just to the discipline of healing. You know, there's other aspects with your with guides and things. So maybe you can sort of tell us how you took that next step.
So absolutely, Brian. I kept saying to myself, "What a wonderful, wonderful thing to do, to have this gift, to have this ability to help others." And I kept trying to get him to come to Canada and work on, you know, my family, my friends, and you know, anybody. So we had a little bit of difficulty getting him here because of visas through Serbia and such. So I just kind of told the universe, man, I wish I had that gift. And then all of a sudden, I started getting emails, I started getting messages and all kinds of stuff about Reiki. And what was the other one? It was quantum touch. So I'm like, oh, this is interesting. So I looked into it, and it's basically like you ask and you receive in this universe. So I looked into a couple of these things. I read some books. I took a course. And when I went back to Serbia to see my healer again, I told him a little bit what I was doing. And he asked to scan my palms. So he looked at my palms and he told me the energy comes out of the middle of our palms. And he said, man, he goes, you can do this. And I can teach you a few things, you know, keep going, practice on your family and friends. And that's what I started doing. But since I was a child, I would see things and feel things. And my friend can see and talk to his guide. I've been talking with my guide or communicating since I was a child. I just didn't know what was happening because I didn't see anything and I didn't hear anything. They were just kind of thoughts. So as I learned this energy stuff and I spoke to my friend and much learning and discipline and meditation, I was learning how to differentiate between my thoughts and what the guides were trying to tell me. And now that my energy is pretty high and vibrations are good, it's just coming through very, very clear. It's amazing.
I find that so fascinating with guides. Now, I've met people with guides and touched on numerology before a little bit as well, and my whole 11-11 thing, and I still think that was something or somebody or some entity prompting me to sort of take a different direction in my life, even from a very early age. But how would you differentiate? Now, you mentioned meditation, but people probably have thoughts all the time that come. You're like, where the fuck did that thought come from? Like something just comes into your mind. You're like, wow, where did that come from? I've never even experienced anything like that. How would you differentiate what you perceive to be your thoughts versus thoughts that you would believe that would be coming from another place, from like a guy?
So part of it is like that gut feeling you get. Some people just give you like the heebie-jeebies, or some people make you feel kind of negative. Like you just be in a room with somebody or in an elevator, and you can all of a sudden, for no reason, just start feeling negative. You'll get negative thoughts. Or you can also be very, very happy and get positive thoughts. What's happening is we're, kind of tuning into other people's vibrations and like the earth vibrations. To differentiate, when I'm thinking about something, I actually like think about it. And when it just comes to me, these thoughts, that's when I'm realizing that they're not my thoughts. When I first started, I would tell clients or friends or family members when I was working on them, I would give them a wealth of information. And then I'm thinking to myself, where did that information come from? It wasn't my thoughts. It wasn't my learnings. It wasn't anything I read. It was just kind of coming out, and they were getting exactly what they needed to hear. And then I noticed, because I wasn't telling everybody the same thing. Sometimes people read off a script. For me, I was like, wow, I told that to this person, this to that person, third thing to the other person. And then I was realizing that's the information that the guides or the universe or whatever this energy you want to call was giving me. When I wasn't even thinking about it, when I wasn't, concentrating, it was just out of the blue, you get this information.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I find that, great way to describe that, actually, because I find that sometimes, if I have an intention and I put myself, pour myself into something and I take action on that, that sometimes amazing things will come through me and manifest that I certainly would not have been able to put my finger on how it possibly happened or where it came from. Well, that's fascinating. I'd have to do a little more self-exploration on that front. So Daniel, the bioenergy therapist. Now, when I first saw that, I had never seen that before. I've Reiki, pranic healing, other things that you mentioned you practice. Can you explain bioenergy healing?
So bioenergy is basically what biology should have been way back when we started studying biology, but there wasn't any instruments that can detect this energy field. It's invisible, basically. You can't smell it. You can't see it, but you can definitely feel it when you start getting into these things. So I believe that all these different modalities, doesn't matter what they're called, I think they all sort of stem from the same, at the very top of the pyramid, I would say it's whatever you want to call it. You can call it nature. You can call it God. You can call it the universe. God's got thousands of different names, but I believe that all those energies, all the modalities, all stem from one energy.
Okay, so that's fascinating. So now you're the bioenergy therapist. Somebody calls you up, and I know you've worked with athletes on physical ailments, so broken hearts, broken bones, broken spirits. I mean, is that basically what you cover? Do you cover every kind of type of healing, or where do you actually focus, and what's the process around that?
So when I first started, and I realized that when I asked the universe, I wish I had this gift, then I realized after very quickly that I actually have been born with this gift, and it just needed to be developed, and I needed to be more aware with it. So when I first started, my friend told me, he says, Daniel, he says, just try to stay away from any kind of cancers and multiple sclerosis and like deep stuff like that. He says there's just deep rooted issues with things like that. And it takes many, many years to develop something like that, even though that the doctors might not detect it right away. So basically, he told me to try to work on broken bones and anything that someone's been like injured from, sports injury, car injury, something like that, that your body's going to recover from anyway. So this stuff is really amazing with speeding up our own body's natural ability to heal itself. So I basically started off with athletes and I did broken bones, went really, really well for me. I would work on people and their recovery would be usually half the time or even quicker. That was pretty fascinating. I worked with the TFC goalie at the time, Miloš Kocić, and he messed up his part of his leg at practice like the day after I met him, which I thought was fascinating because he told me, you know, he doesn't need any of this stuff. He's a workhorse. And I believe it. But the universe put something together so he can experience this. And I went to see him the next day. I think it was pretty much the next day or a couple of days after. He was on a crutch, just got back from the trainers, told him to stay off his foot. And he was fighting to be top goalie at that time. I think the top goalie's last name was Fry. I'm not sure about that. But anyways, he's like, man, I got to get back there. You know, how long is this going to take? And I said, Miloš, I said, I have no idea, man. Like, you could have torn ligaments or something that could take months. He didn't want to hear that. I worked on him for about 20, 25 minutes. He went to see the trainer. And maybe that evening, a few hours later, I worked on him again. And I said, you know, we'll work every day. This was in person. I said, we'll work on it every day until you get better. He sent me a message the next day. He said, Daniel, I just did a full training and my leg is like 99% better. And that's fascinating. So that's just telling me how well of a healer he is, how well of, you know, his body would take this in. But also he was telling me that when he went to university, he took a look to see what the record was for shutouts for his school. I'm pretty sure he went to Loyola. I'm not 100% sure on that. And I said, what was it, Miloš? And he's like, it was 22 or 23. And he said how powerful his mind is and what he does. And he says, guess how many shutouts I got that year? And I said, of course, whatever the number was, 22 or 23. He says, yes. And I said to him, why didn't you put in your head one more to like beat the record? He's like, I don't right. know. He's like, I don't know, right. You know? But it's pretty cool because I was told that the athletes already have that mental toughness training. So it was just a lot easier to work on them when I first started.
Yeah, absolutely. They have such a powerful mindset. So on that note, if you do your healing session and you leave the athlete or the patient or the client with something like a mantra or some kind of homework to do to continue, because our thoughts obviously have so much to do with our healing. And, you know, and a lot of times if we go the other way, we go negative, things can be worse just based on our thoughts. What is it exactly that you do in your session as well? So I guess those two questions.
Yeah. The whole process, I've been evolving. The more I learn and the more people I work on, I'm getting more and more intuition. I'm getting more and more schooling. I'm listening to a lot of people, a lot of podcasts, a lot of things. And when I first started, all I did was basically put my hands on the part of the body that had the issue. Sometimes people would feel some heat. Sometimes people would feel some electrical pulses. Sometimes they wouldn't feel anything. But I believe they were always getting something out of the session. As we progressed, I would also think, like, I would imagine the broken bone healing. I would imagine, like, me, you know, the broken part, like with a marker or a pencil or something, coloring it in. And then I would tell the people also, you know, concentrate on that part of your body. You know, if it was a foot injury, like concentrate, like visualize yourself walking, running. So I think visualization is very, very important to do. Positive thinking, just to be, you know, alone with yourself for minimum 15 minutes every day, just in peace and quiet to allow your body to heal itself quicker. You know, whatever I would recommend, I would just say, forget about any stress. And I know it's impossible. It's very difficult, but just be aware if you're going through these stressful thoughts and just let them pass through you and go on. Because if we don't have any stress in our lives, if we don't have any negativity, everything's going to clear. It's just going to clear.
Right. And what about in that? So in the remote world that we're in now with COVID, obviously you can't be touching clients, at least in this moment. Are you able to do this remotely?
So the funny thing is like, once again, you know, you ask for something and you receive it. And I was thinking how difficult it is because I had so many people around the world that I knew, especially like my family back home in Serbia. I'm like, man, I can't like physically work on all these people. And as I say that, you know, I meet a friend for coffee within days. And she's like, oh, my God, I met this guy. The guy lives in Bosnia. He does the healing stuff like you do, but he does it over the phone. I'm like, what do you mean he does it over the phone? And she's like, I was talking to this guy over the phone. He was just telling me to like concentrate on certain parts of my body, do a couple of breathing things. And she says, I started feeling better. She says, I can feel tingling. I can feel. I'm like, that's fascinating. So then I found out that's called remote healing and it's called distance healing. And I'm like, how fascinating is that? So my first experience with that was I had a friend of mine's mother-in-law was in the hospital for about 3 months with issues. I was going to go work on her personally. And then she just wasn't feeling up to it with all the things that were wrong with her. So I said, listen, I don't have to work on her physically. I have a lot of friends that do remote healing and distance healing. All they need is a picture. That day I went and picked up her picture. I called my friends and I couldn't get a hold of anybody. They're all from Europe at that time. So I just took the picture in my hand and I just pretended that she was in front of me. All I did was physically, I closed my eyes. I pretended that she was in front of me looking at her picture. I said a couple of prayers. And I just held my hand over the picture. And about 5 days after that, I talked to my friend and he's like, did your friend start working on her? And I said, oh, my God, Kevin, I said, I'm so sorry. I couldn't get a hold of anybody. I started working on her. And he said, when did you start? And I said, like 20 minutes after you gave me the picture. He says, well, about an hour after that, he says her blood infection went away. She was supposed to do antibiotics for a week. He said 2 days after that, they had something on her eye that they wanted to operate. They said that was gone. And the third thing was, is she had something in her midsection, some kind of mass tumor cyst or something that showed up on a scan. And they couldn't find that anymore after the fifth day. So that was my first experience of doing the remote stuff. And then I just learned some more different levels. And basically it's the same. It's pretend the person's in front of you. Work on them, do the same thing that you would do, or basically we're working with our heart or we're working with our mind. Just like you and I are talking now, you know, I'm in one city, you're somewhere else. We can pick up our cell phone and our voice magically goes in thin air from like Toronto to China in real time. That's how this energy can work as well.
Yeah, it's interesting to say the heart and the mind. It's such a powerful combination when it's in sequence and flow together. For yourself, do you have like a self-healing protocol that you do if you're, you know, if you're feeling tension? And is it something that anybody could do, or is this still something that it would only be specific to you and your training?
So for me personally, when I first started doing the energy healing, I was taking on other people's ailments sometimes. If I was working on somebody with a bad knee, my knee would start getting sore. If I worked on somebody with a headache, I would get the headache. So I talked to my teachers and they told me that what's happening is I'm using my own energy, and they taught me how to use universal energy. So what I would do instead of getting my energy depleted, I would just run the energy from the universe, from the cosmos, from the Mother Earth, whatever you're doing. I would run that through my body, run it through the client's body and then back to the universe. And then when I was doing that and not using my own energy, then I wasn't getting all these ailments and stuff. I am prone to picking up a lot of negativity. I was born, and I mean, I still am. I'm a very emotional person. I'm very sensitive, and I'm an empath. So I do pick up a lot of things, and it bothers me. But what has helped me a lot is just processing it. So when the thoughts of negativity and any sadness or anger come to me, I just realize that it's not mine, and I am aware that it's there, and I just let it go through my body. But also, personally, meditation has really helped me a lot. And actually going to the gym and working out has helped me a lot. Keeping your mind on something else, you know, doing the body, mind together.
Yeah. So do you have a daily ritual that you follow, or a sort of set of habits that you basically do every day, or is it dynamic depending on the day?
I started doing meditations years ago, but I find them like very, very hard to do. I believe I have ADD too, so I'm all over the place. You know, it'd be a guided meditation going from your toes to your knees. By the time it gets to my waist, I'm already up into the fridge, you know, getting a snack.
Okay.
I found, Brian, like I said, you ask for something and it comes to you. So transcendental meditation has come to me many times. And probably the third time it came to me, I said, I got to look into this. So I went and I learned it. And I was doing it every morning for like 20, 25 minutes, like the way you're supposed to do it. And I was doing it every evening. That was the protocol. And it really, really changed me. So that was fantastic. Every single night before I go to sleep, I would go through my whole body. This was even before I learned anything about healing, before I even knew it existed. I would just kind of like look at my toes and say, I love you, and my toenails, I love you, love my ankles, I love my calves, love my knees. I would just go throughout my whole body, and it wasn't just words. I was connecting with my body, telling it I loved it, telling you thank you. I would go through a gratitude list. This is something that I would do daily, and basically like 99% of the time in the last 30 years, that's one of my routines that I do all the time.
Yeah, that is powerful. I've personally kept a gratitude journal for over a decade. Every single morning, I write down five things and really try to embody the feeling of gratitude for whatever I write, not just check the box that I put the five in. Yeah, and the I love myself one is interesting as well. There's a book that I read about a year ago by a guy named Kamal Reykjavik, and he had an I love myself protocol, which I've actually used with some of my clients before, you know, where they'll look themselves in the eye and they say, I love myself, just when they're brushing their teeth every night or something. It's fascinating how that could actually trigger so many suppressed emotions and things as well, and tears. So those are all powerful things. And then you mentioned earlier as well, that 15 minutes of alone time daily, you know, that could be meditation or visualization or prayer, but I think that's hugely important as well. What about skeptics? So, I mean, I'm sure that some clients, you know, with a very strong analytical mind and not a lot of spiritual belief or practice, because, you know, there is a certain, as you said, mindset that kind of comes along with the success of something like this as well. You have to really believe in yourself and believe in something bigger than you, I believe, to make this work. Have you come across somebody who you just couldn't break through, or if you have, were you able to?
So I would say that for me personally, I would say 90% of the population that I've come across have never heard of any kind of energy healing. They don't even know what it is. And then when you tell them about it, I mean, that was just my personal circle. Now my circle is different. So I'm connecting with like-minded people and I'm trying to concentrate with them. But I've come across very, very, very many skeptics. Vast majority are skeptical. When I first started doing this, a lot of people told me to my face that, you know, oh my God, this is crazy. Like, you actually believe in that stuff. And so I could just imagine what they were saying behind my back.
Yeah.
Most of these people have come around. Some of them took a year. Some of them took 10 years. But basically, the skeptics that were my friends have experienced healing with me. And others are asking me for help for families and other people. And, you know, this wasn't mainstream. This stuff wasn't on television. This stuff wasn't in the news. And it's hard, you know, to believe in something that you don't see all the time. You know, where does our news come from? You know, television, the newspaper. Every once in a while, I did see an article about Reiki or something like that. So I believe the people are kind of fed up with being sick. And they're fed up with feeling like shit, and they're learning more things and they're more open to this stuff. All you need to do is try. You know, there's different modalities, yeah. There's different things you can do, but just give it a try. Like it's very simple to do it. If it's not for you, it's not for you. But I think people have received so many benefits. You know, open mind is the key.
Absolutely, brother, because, you know, we're a culture that just treats the symptoms with another drug. And, you know, instead of actually going inside and looking a little deeper at, you know, other sources of suffering. One other thing I wanted to ask you about in terms of actual practice is breath work. Do you do any type of breath work practice yourself?
So that was coming to me as well with the breathing and things. And like, I know the funny thing is like when we're working out and stuff, I was always taught to breathe in on the negative and, you know, breathe out as you're pushing out. But then I started listening to Wim Hof, And, yeah. He kind of does the opposite. He does like a couple of breathing techniques. Then all of a sudden he holds his breath and you're doing much more push-ups, more bench. So it's kind of like a many things that we've learned. Not that they were wrong. They just, I guess, at that time in our lives, that's the information that we had. And it was, I don't know if it, I can't say that it was incorrect, but there's different ways of doing things. So I think breath work is very, very important. And it's something that I need to add, like my daily routine. I know a lot of jiu-jitsu people have certain and special breathing techniques that they do. And I was listening to an interview, I can't remember who it was, but as an MMA fighter, and he said the whole time he was fighting one of the Gracies, he was like making these funny breaths, these funny breathing. And he right. wasn't sweating, like Gracie wasn't sweating. He wasn't huffing and puffing. These breathing techniques were helping him get all the oxygen in or the carbon dioxide out. I'm not an expert on that stuff, but I 100% believe in the breathing techniques.
Yeah, highly recommend that one, brother. It's super powerful. And you mentioned ADD, and for myself with some of the A-type clients who just really won't give themselves much time, invest too much time in themselves to sit quietly because they're too busy planning and working on the next thing, the breath work really just pops right through all of that. And the Wim Hof technique is amazing. And it's funny, you mentioned like old techniques with working out because, you know, I'm a longtime gym guy myself. And, you know, Wim Hof, 26 world records later, and all, you know, it took him all these years, decades of all this work. And finally, he got into the universities and they studied the actual physiology of the body and what's going on in the chemistry through that process to actually prove it. And really, at the end of the day, it's just breathing, right? But it's super powerful. Well, cool, brother. So I wanted to just close our conversation with a goal that you mentioned, and it was your goal of open consciousness. Now, I've got as far as one of my sort of purposes in life is to like explore and to help foster conscious evolution. But what is your goal of open consciousness mean to you?
So I just think that we have different levels of everything in life. And I read a lot about how we only use something like 8%, 9% of our minds. And then we have so much DNA that's, you know, not even used. So all I think is higher consciousness is just an awareness of all the information that's ever been on the planet, all the information that's ever going to be. And you connect to this information, and then you don't need to listen to the news. You don't need to have a teacher. You don't need to have a guru. You don't need to have somebody take you through these things. I mean, it's good to have, and we're always going to do those things. But I just believe when your consciousness goes up to a higher level, and I mean, there's infinite levels. We're always learning that all this stuff, you just become more aware. I believe we don't have to teach somebody, you know, between right and wrong. And then again, like what is right and wrong? It's different for everybody. It's all part of our evolution. When I first started the healing journey, I thought, how incredible is that to, you know, take somebody's physical pain or mental pain away? But then I realized very, very quickly, it's not about that. I believe that once we're conscious, then 90% of our problems will go away. There really should, like, I don't know. I don't think that we should have any stress in our life. Most of the stress in people's lives goes around finances. And everything in this world we have great abundance in. It's just not balanced properly. If our goal in this world by our governments and by our people was to thrive and be healthy, we would thrive and we would be healthy. But unfortunately, we live in a very monetary world and we've gone through a lot of greed of, you know, not having, and then we cause a lot of problems in our lives.
Yeah. Great description of that, brother. And, you know, I'm with you on that. A lot of the suffering that we have is in the mind, and it's worrying about such things as finance and all types of things that really don't matter in the moment. So listen, brother, I just want to acknowledge you, Daniel, for everything you're doing to help the world, especially in these crazy times, and help it and heal it. How can people contact you or find out more about you and what you do?
Well, for right now, Facebook, I just opened Twitter recently. So those are two places you can get a hold of me. You're more than welcome to share my email or my personal phone number as well. I am getting a website as soon as possible. So that would probably going to be the best way in the near future. And you'll have all the information in there and testimonials as well.
Perfect. All right, brother. Thank you so much for your time today. You have a great day.
Brian, thank you very much. I appreciate it.